Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you to our Let the Bible Speak program this evening, and we trust that God will bless you as you tune in with us. We're going to bow before the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we come to Thee in our Saviour's name. We thank Thee that we can bow before Thee tonight, pleading the merits of the precious blood of Christ. We thank Thee for the one who died on the cross and shed His blood that we might be redeemed. And, O God, we rejoice that we can make known Thy precious word. We thank Thee for these means of making known Christ and Him crucified. And we pray that Thou wouldst bless the going forth of Thy word, bless those that are under the sound of our voice. And, O God, that it might be a rich blessing poured out from above upon each one. Meet us now, we pray of Thee, and draw nigh to our hearts, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to read a portion of Scripture tonight from the book of Genesis, chapter 9 and beginning our reading at verse 8 of the chapter. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. And I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. I want to consider the verse 13 of the portion of scripture that we read. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. When Noah came out of the ark, it was a very different world that he came into. We think of how the canopy of heaven had broken up. We think of how the fountains of the deep had opened up. We realize that the physical condition of the earth was very different to what Noah had seen before he went into the ark. And not only that, but the world had changed by way of population. What must Noah and his family have thought when they came and emerged from the ark to find that they were the only living human beings on the earth? What a change they experienced. And he would have emerged with mixed emotions. There was the joy that he had come through the terrible flood, but also there was an apprehension about the future and what the future was going to hold for him. And so, in order to allay his fears, God gave Noah a covenant promise. We think of the mighty promise that is here and that has a number of elements to it. The first part is the harvest promise, that while earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The second part is that the earth would be given for dominion to man. And then the third part is the establishment of the covenant that the Lord would no longer destroy the world with a flood. And we find in the Bible that every covenant is marked by a sign. And the sign of this covenant was to be the rainbow. We look at verses 16 and 17, and it says, And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I will, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. So the rainbow became a sign of God's promise to Noah. And we want to look at that sign for a few minutes this evening. And I want you to think about the characteristics of the rainbow, first of all. And we think about the colors of the rainbow. I want to deal with the specific colors a little bit later on, But I want you to realize that the rainbow is bright. You see a rainbow. It is bold. It is unmistakable. It'll draw your attention. And I want you to see that God wants us to see the tokens of his mercy. He wants to make his mercy known. And we realize how the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. You think of God's ordained method of preaching, and it is to call attention. It is open. It is bold. It is to be preaching boldly and widely and openly. And God sent out his disciples because he wants us all to hear the message and to know he's a God of mercy. Not only is the rainbow characterized by the colors, but it is characterized by compassion. It's a sign of God's mercy and his compassion. Remember that all that Noah had gone through, he had seen the demonstration of the wrath of God poured out as the flood had come upon the world. In Genesis 6, verses 5 to 7, it says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so God sent this great upheaval as the fountains of the deep were broken up, and God destroyed man from the earth because of the sin that he had committed. And so we think of how Noah would have thought every time it rained, he'd never seen rain before. And his experience of rain was all of this scary wrath of God, men dying and so on. And God now wants to allay his fears, and he wants to comfort his servants in the midst of all of this. And so he gives the sign that he's no longer going to destroy the world with a flood. And it's a token of God's mercy and God's compassion towards his servant. We read in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We're glad that we have a God of compassion, and that's demonstrated by the rainbow. And then the rainbow is characterized by commonness. Rainbows are not an everyday event, but they're common enough. You'll see many rainbows in your lifetime. And not only that, but there are rainbows all across the world. There may be dry regions where there are no rainbows, but if you take regions as a whole, take a wide part of the land, there are rainbows in every part of the world. It's a sign that's extensive. And we are glad today that God has a message to all the world. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there's no stipulation there. You don't need to be a certain nationality. You don't need to be born into a Christian home. You don't need a certain amount of training or to go through certain ordinances of religion. All it says is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord sent out his disciples and he said, go ye into all the world. So this is a message for the world. It's a message for you. God has sent his rainbow all over the world to remind people that he has grace and mercy. He sent missionaries to different parts of the world to go out and bring this message of salvation, this message of mercy to men and women, to the entire human race. And you're not excluded tonight. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And so we see something of the characteristics of the rainbow. It speaks to us today of a merciful God. But then I want you to think about the circumstances of the rainbow. If you look carefully at the account that we're given in the Word of God, I want you to see that God sent this sign upon certain conditions. You read the story here, and if you were to turn back in God's Word to Genesis chapter 8 and verses 20 to 21, you will read about the circumstances in which God sent this rainbow. It says in verses 20 and 21, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." So it was after Noah made that offering that God sent the covenant promise. And it included the sign of the rainbow. In other words, we see that God gave the rainbow upon the grounds of the blood that was shed on the altar. The shedding of blood pointed forward, of course, to the cross of Calvary. It prefigured the death of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, there on the center cross of Calvary. There God's blessed only begotten Son shed his blood that we might be redeemed. And the blessing here, the wonderful mercy of God, is obtained upon the ground and the merit of the precious blood. You know, we deserve God's judgment. We're no better than those that perished in Noah's day. We recognize that the judgment of God is upon us, but there is mercy today. The bow points to Calvary, and we can say like the hymn writer, "Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain." Every blessing that we have comes to us upon the basis of the blood that was shed there on the cross of Calvary. But there's something else that I want you to see about the rainbow, this sign that was given by God. I want you to think about the colors of the rainbow. You see, when God set this sign in the heavens, we have noticed that it was a striking thing. It was to be a thing to call attention. It was to be something that would be seen. But you think about the colors, and of course, the colors have to have a meaning. And I want us to think about that. Now, I want you to think about the number of the colors. There are seven colors in the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Now, the number seven in the Bible speaks about perfection. It's always a sign of perfection, of something that is complete. Completeness is something that is signified by the number seven. And here we have the perfection of God's provision. God's provision is perfect. There's no want with God. When God provided salvation on the cross, it was a perfect salvation. You might remember how that the Lord Jesus, one of the cries on the cross as he died was, "It is finished." And that means paid in full. There was nothing else to pay. And you know, dear friend, we don't need to fear that this is going to let us down. There are many things that were offered in this world, and they're imperfect. And there are many things that were offered that let us down. They don't live up to the hype. They don't live up to what we're told they're going to do. But we need never have that fear about God's salvation, because it is full, it is free, and it is forever. And dear friend, it's something that will stand the test of eternity. You think of the Queen of Sheba who came to Solomon, and when she discovered the wisdom of Solomon, she said, "The half hasn't been told me." And when you discover God's salvation, you'll find not only it's perfect, but the half has never been told you. But not only do I want you to think about the number of the colours, but I want you to think about the nature of the colours. What kind of colours are there? Well, first of all, at the top of the rainbow, you have red, orange, and yellow. Now, what are they? Well, they are the colours of fire. They are the colours of judgment, we might say. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. That speaks of his wrath, his judgment. We think of how the Bible says that the wicked will be cast into that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And so those colours speak to us of the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. But I want you to notice that those colours are at the top of the rainbow. Those colours are the furthest away from the earth. They are, as it were, held away from us. What are the colours then at the bottom of the rainbow? Well, the bottom colours, the bottom three colours, are blue, indigo, and violet. And what are those colours? Well, blue speaks of heaven. It always speaks of heaven in the Bible. And then you have the purple colours, indigo and violet, and those are the colours of royalty. So in many ways, those colours speak to us of the kingdom of God, the kingship, that he's Lord of lords and King of kings, and it speaks to us of heaven. And those colours are closest to the earth. And it is as if as we look at the rainbow, we see the offer of heaven, and we see the offer of God's kingdom. You know what God has promised that he will do to his people? He says that he will make us kings and priests unto God. He has offered us that he will bring us into his family and that he'll make us heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He said that he will go to heaven and prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. And that's the wonderful offer that God gives to men and women, that offer of heaven, the heavenly kingdom, the heavenly refuge, that place of everlasting life. We are told in Revelation 21, verses 2 to 5, that heaven is a place where there'll be no more sorrow and no more crying. And that's what God offers as we look at the rainbow. But if you reject the royalty of Christ, if you reject heaven, there's no barrier to the colours of fire. That's what remains for you. There is those colours that speak of the wrath of God. If you reject God, there is no refuge except one colour that we've missed out, and that's the colour green. And what does green speak of? Green speaks of everlasting. We talk about things being evergreen, meaning that they don't die off in the winter time. And we think of the everlasting royalty, kingdom that God offers, but also the everlasting wrath. And where the colours of wrath and the colours of the kingdom meet, there is the green. And it's very interesting then that when you look in the book of Revelation that we're told that in heaven there is a green rainbow. It says that he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. An emerald's green. So we have the blazing colours and we have the heavenly colours, and they meet together. And we think of how there is that everlasting life. And it's wonderful to think that the Bible also says in that passage in Revelation that the church of God in heaven sits inside the green rainbow. It says, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were the 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So there are the 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New Testament, and the church is sitting inside the green rainbow, the symbol of the everlasting nature of the salvation of God. And isn't that what you need and what you want this evening? He will not cast you out. But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the comfort of the rainbow. The rainbow was given as a comfort. It was a sign of solace. The rainbow is always linked with the cloud. The cloud and the rainbow go together. If you look at verse 14, it says, "And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." So the rainbow and the cloud go together. When the sky is full of clouds, you see the rainbow. But the clouds bring the shadow. The clouds bring the storm. We think of the storms of life, the shadows of life. But God spreads a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. Dear friend, in many ways, our hearts can be broken. There may be times when we have no peace. But God brings peace and calm in the midst of the storms of life. He brings a beautiful rainbow into the valley of tears. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and you're in the shadows. You're in the doldrums. We think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Do you have the Lord with you today? Do you have the Savior by your side? Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the rainbow that speaks to us of God's compassion and mercy, but also speaks of his wrath. And we pray that men and women might turn to thee today and find thee as their Savior, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.